Today's going to be an interesting episode. I'm doing this one alone. I've been thinking about peppering in more of these solo episodes covering various topics, so it's going to be quick and easy. The film history, you know, actor, director profiles, editorials, etc. These are really fun to do, and they're also good if I have some scheduling conflicts, which I did. So we'll move forward with today's topic, which was born out of a conversation Michael and I had recently. I'm going to be talking about the Satanic Panic, how it started, you know, the lives that it affected, and its lasting impact. Today is a topic I've brought up probably an unhealthy amount, and am consistently caught with exclamations of puzzlement. It seems a lot of folks my age don't know what this is, and yet, it kind of affects our lives still to this day, so with lack of better words, I turn to Wikipedia for the definition. The Satanic Panic was a moral panic of approximately 12,000 unsubstantiated cases of Satanic Ritual Abuse, SRA for short, in the 80s and into the 90s. We gotta set the stage though, because it sounds like the Protestants and the Salem Witch Trials, and that's because it kind of is. It's as tactic as old as time. Us versus them, men versus women, Jews versus Romans, Republicans versus Democrats. It's a way to divert attention and build a following, inclusion via discrimination. Similar to the popularization of comic book banning in the 1950s by Frederick Wortham's Seduction of the Innocent, this was all because of one sensational book that skyrocketed some inventive opportunists up the cultural ladder by hurting a lot of people in the name of their higher power. Michelle Remembers, by Michelle Smith and Lawrence Pazder, a now fully discredited book that chronicled the fictional tale of Michelle's memories brought to life via repressed memory therapy, mostly via persuasion. Michelle managed to remember that her mother was a Satanist in the Satanic Church with Anton LaVey somehow like 15 years before that even started, and used her in a cabal to bring Satan to life through ritualistic abuse. Pretty sure it's nearly impossible to forget something that traumatic, even at 5 years old. Repressed memories as a whole are largely not really a thing. It's kind of been discredited as reliable. People don't forget these core memories so easily. And let's be real about satanic organizations. Those don't really largely exist. There's never been a documented case of a satanic group exacting murder in the name of our dark father below. Satanists don't believe in Satan. It's kind of more of a punk mentality way of sticking it to Christians and maintaining freedom of speech. If Satanists believed in the devil, then that means there's also a God, and we know that isn't true. On top of all of this, Michelle and her doctor that co-wrote the book together eventually got married, so they were really just in it for money. This is a sensationalist way to push people out. All you have to do is yell about the children being in danger, and this group over here drinks baby blood, and eventually someone ends up in jail. And this actually happened, by the way. Michelle Remembers kicked off a movement of We Have to Believe the Children. But as we all know, children are profoundly dumb, and typically the group yelling the loudest about the kids being in danger are usually the ones manipulating them in the first place. This is all pushed into the mainstream through daytime talk shows, Oprah, Sally Jesse Raphael, Donahue, Geraldo Rivera.
Ozzy?
Yeah?
I know that your lyrics are less excessive than groups like Slayer or Venom or Iron Maiden or some of the others, but still, for some reason, maybe it's because you've been around for so long, I see tattoos of your name on some of these teenage devil worshippers' arms. Wherever I see devil graffiti and satanic graffiti, I see your name also. Do you feel a sense of responsibility, Oz?
The only responsibility I feel is the fact that I'm a true musician in what I play. I don't want to make anybody start doing all this devil worship crap, because that's not my intention. Although I have sung on a few songs about the devil, you know, that's about it. You know, I don't want anyone to harm themselves.
What about the issue of responsibility? What about the whole thing about guilt? Do you feel responsible?
I don't feel guilty. I feel kind of persecuted by everybody because I'm not a bad guy. My intentions are not to harm anyone. In fact, it's directly the opposite. Like when people come to my concerts, I want them to have a good, fun evening out, you know. And it seems to me that a lot of people judge the book by the cover more so than that. They write things about me where they don't even know what they're talking about, you know.
All these assholes push this fake story down America's throats for more views and more money. They chastised Metallica and Dungeons & Dragons, all while they propped up people like Mike Warnke, a shitty Christian comedian that claimed to be a former member of a satanic cabal.
I've been kind of curious. Are all of these true stories, or do you parabolize to help get your message across?
You mean the stories about things that have happened to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all true stories. The only thing I parabolize is the Bible, and I don't do it exactly the King James Version. As a matter of fact, people have called my Bible stories the butchered Bible tales, you know, but no, the stories that I tell them in a funny and humorous way. But yeah, all of them have happened to me. As a matter of fact, I have never preached about anything I haven't experienced.
Is Satan really being sold to this generation today?
I think so. I think that it's being sold to this generation probably more than any other generation before. And one of the things that we see that bothers us so much in our dealings with the police departments around the country is we're seeing younger and younger people getting involved at a much earlier age and becoming involved deeper sooner than ever before, and that is really frightening. You know, it used to be you saw people who were in college or maybe even older than that who were getting involved in these sorts of things, the Manson family type syndrome, where those people were all, you know, in their 20s and Charles was, you know, in his 30s. But now we're seeing kids 13 years old acting out things that their spiritual leaders, if you want to call them that, tell them to do, and as a result, you know, we're dealing with a lot of cases of kids killing their parents.
He made a lot of money off of his quote-unquote stand-up routine, and his book Satan Seller made him a go-to witness for all of these daytime shows. He lied a lot. No kids were ever killed, and real people went to jail. And I hear you already. Didn't Richard Ramirez leave pentagrams at crime scenes? He did, but anyone who does that shit is doing it to be a sensational monster. He wasn't part of a group. He just thought Satan was cool and something metal to leave behind. It kind of came down to two lawsuits, the McMartin preschool trials and the Keller case. Starting with the former, the McMartin trial was wrought with extreme allegations of molestation, animal mutilation, underground tunnels, and sacrifice. The trial lasted about 7 years and cost taxpayers $15 million with no conviction. It was a farce that was one of the first steps back to normalcy. One of the final holdovers from this time was the Kellers. A married couple, Dan and Fran Keller, ran a preschool in Austin, Texas. In August of 91, Dan spanked a child, and it set off a flurry of accusations towards the couple. Dan was probably wrong. He was wrong to spank a child. Early 90s. I was getting spanked. It was kind of just how you raised a kid. They blamed this couple for everything from molestation to defecating on children to ritual murder. It's insane and honestly sounds like shit a kid would say. Kids are obsessed with poop and piss and boogers and shit. It's kind of fucking weird. So through a piss poor investigation and trial where an inexperienced doctor deemed a child to have been molested and the child having recanted her story in the court, it's completely crazy what these families were saying. They're saying the Kellers decapitated their dog and fed the blood to the children. Fran kidnapped a gorilla and chopped its fingers off and drank the blood out of a bucket. What are you talking about? Saying they routinely took plane trips to Mexico with a bunch of preschoolers and were pimping them out and somehow made it back home in time every day for the parents to pick them up. That's stupid. Why was there never a point when somebody just said, that doesn't make sense? The Kellers somehow lost the case, and the couple faced a 42-year sentence, of which they served 21 years. They didn't get released until 2013. That is so much lost time. I hope they got a big settlement and finished out their lives on government cheddar, because that is absurd. Now, all that said, because this is a movie pop culture podcast, I want to get into some films involved. Obviously, Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist were big contributors to the conversation.
And now, coming soon to video cassette.
Paramount Pictures presents Mia Farrow in a William Castle production, Rosemary's Baby. Co-starring John Cassavetes. Written for the screen and directed by Roman Polanski.
But success breeds competition. So, there were a slew of cheap imitators that only add to the public paranoia. Ironically, the head of the Church of Satan himself, Anton LaVey, inadvertently made his life harder by being the consultant for a film called Devil's Reign. It's a really fun film with excellent special effects, but by having him involved, it kind of put the stamp of approval on it, saying, this is what we do. We kill communities and melt people's faces off. Be afraid.
There have been earthquakes, airport disasters, and blazing infernos, but there has never been anything like The Devil's Reign. Created by the masters of magic of Planet of the Apes, they bring you the most incredible, unforgettable ending of any motion picture ever. The Devil's Reign, rated PG.
Most Satanists I've met just lay around and smoke a lot of weed. It's a religion about the people first and hedonism. That's it. There's also the film The Sentinel. It's basically Freaks meets Rosemary's Baby. It's a weird-ass movie, and I love it. Devil Rides Out with Christopher Lee, produced by Hammer, is about a satanic cult. The Omen was extremely popular. Prestige horror about the Antichrist living among us. Blood on Satan's Claw, Mark of the Devil, Twins of Evil. The list goes on. Like Nazis, the devil is a great antagonist. Obviously, this is hard to boil down and simply point fingers, but I think it was really the perfect storm in a way. Women maintain their jobs post-war, their children needed somewhere to go for after school and daytime care, and for the first time on a massive scale, parents were left to trust complete strangers with their kids. It's a scary and frankly weird thing to do. I get it. And on top of this, serial killers were running rampant in the 60s and 70s. Rosemary's Baby was a smash hit, and alternative religions were on the rise. Anton LaVey was charismatic and brash. Do you see all the ingredients here? At the end of the day, this kind of comes down to previous generations not understanding the younger. And instead of accepting people, it's easier to ostracize them, make them an other, and bury them. All of this might sound crazy and extreme, but remember a few years ago, we were talking about Hillary Clinton drinking, what is that, adrenochrome? Baby blood. And being in a child sex ring called Pizzagate. The involvement of Epstein only made it sound more real. Maybe it's just easier to claim it's Satan than accepting that there are evil people in this world. And that's pretty much it. It's a very quick, very fast, truncated version of the satanic panic. It's a thing that affects us still to this day. I mean, the whole Epstein thing and Pizzagate and adrenochrome and all that shit was not that long ago. We're still doing this shit. Satan isn't real. God isn't real. And if you believe in it, I don't know, check your sources, man. Nobody should be in it to hurt other people. Now, I know this was a bit of a weird one, different than normal, especially for a Thanksgiving episode, but I like doing these short form essay episodes every now and then. We've got Michael's going to be doing his annual Christmas episode for M3 with E5 coming up soon. We're talking about more toys that kill, and I've got a little chapter on that episode. No announcements for me coming up. I'm starting to look at shows for next year, starting to get some things in a row for next year, really just trying to get through these holidays and be on to the next thing. I believe Michael's going to be at a holiday bazaar in Indy. Check his Instagram at Epion5. That's coming up. That's like a Christmas show. And that's really all I've got to promote. If you like what you hear and you're a fan of this kind of fringe, strange, dark stuff, keep listening to the show. If you're into horror and cult films, keep listening to the show and tell some friends who are into the same stuff. They'll probably dig it. And with that said, I hope you have a good holiday, and we will see you in the next month. And on next week's episode, Hairless Cats. Weird.
Why don't you help us out, Rosemary?